AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
What kind of radio program do you usually have here?
Oh, we got both kinds, Agra and Talk.
Move them on, hit them up, move them on, move them on, hit them up, raw hide, cut them out,
ride them in,
cut them out, ride them in, raw hide.
Welcome back to Agra Talk on this Wednesday morning. Davis Michelson is with us as well.
Hello. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Representative Randy Feenstra from the 4th District of Iowa is joining us right now. Congressman, welcome back to AgriTalk. It's good to talk with you.
Hey, it's great to be on AgriTalk, Chip. Thanks for having me on today.
You bet. You bet. You've got a busy couple of years ahead of you. Number one, let's talk about this one, Ways and Means Committee, the House Ways and Means Committee. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm really excited to be on the House Ways and Means Committee. I mean, first of all, it deals with general tax. So yeah, for our farming community, it deals with like-kind exchange, 179 depreciation, tax liabilities, including stepped up in basis. I mean, think about that, allowing farmers to pass their farms on to the next generation. So that's part of it. The other part of it is trade. I mean, when you deal with trade, we're sort of asleep at the wheel right now, this administration is. And so Ways and Means handles specifically on trade. So we're planning to do a lot of trade missions, trying to get some unilateral and bilateral trade deals done. Okay. Also working with USMCA to try to figure out our GMO problem.
Okay. First target on a trade mission, are we looking at the UK? I mean, it seems like that'd be an easy one to get done.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, the UK has to get done. I mean, they're doing a unilateral trade deal with Kansas right now. We have to make this a federal deal. And then also the Pacific Rim. I mean, there's so many countries in the Pacific Rim right now that want to do business with us. And again, we have just not engaged. So we're going to take it upon ourselves to engage and see if we can get some export markets producing some of our product and getting it shipped overseas.
Excellent. Excellent. And this all fits very well. You had to get a waiver to stay on the House Ag Committee, but there you are.
Yeah, this was a really big deal for me. Obviously, the farm bill coming up, I wanted to make sure that I was on the farm bill this year, and it all goes hand in hand. I mean, you think about trade, you think about the farm bill that deals with the market access program, deals with the foreign market development program. You know, both Ways and Means and agriculture and the farm bill, they're all go together. And I'm excited to be on both committees, and hopefully I can do a lot of great things for our farming community.
Okay, the last time that you and I talked about the farm bill, there was cautious optimism that you could get a farm bill done before the end of September 2023. What's your status on that now?
Well, that is the million-dollar question. Yep. You know, I think there is. We're holding a lot of hearings right now. I think we got a hearing in California next week. We're going to have one in the Midwest here shortly. It's all about having the hearings and then starting in April, May to start putting it together. The Senate is a lot further along than we are right now. So the Senate's got a lot of their farm bill written already. So there is hope. Obviously, it's just a matter of if we can come together and reach an agreement, both Senate and the House and Democrat and Republicans. So, you know, obviously we're optimistic, but talk to me in July and we'll see what that looks like.
Can you give us a gauge on how well the minority leadership in the House understands the importance of the farm bill? And I'm looking specifically at ranking minority member Jeffries. How much education needs to be done there?
Yeah, I think there has to be a lot of Akeem Jeffries. It's just a matter of, you know, I grew up in the Midwest, so we know the farm markets. We understand what it means when it comes to conservation, trade, energy, research and development, and all these other things. And when you have urban members, it becomes very, very hard, especially when they represent the coast. So this is, to me, a very big learning curve. And again, that's why I think a lot of these hearings have to be done across the United States. So so I can understand what's happening in California, and the Californians can understand what's happening in the Midwest. You know, we had GT Thompson, the chair, come down to the Farm Progress Show and to the State Fair just to show what Iowa has to offer, and that's what needs to happen with all the members.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Okay. One that I know Davis is watching very closely, and that is the Strategic Production Response Act, which is going to require the White House to refill the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. What's the status of that? What's next, and does it have a chance in the Senate?
Yeah, well, so we passed it off the floor of the House last week, and, you know, it's all about a few months ago where Biden depleted our reserves to its lowest level since 1985. And we're simply saying, hey, we, A, got to fill them, but more importantly, I mean, a lot of it went to China. What are we doing here? So it bans all reserves going to China and then requires it to be filled up again. And it's interesting, if you look at it, there was quite a few Democrats that supported it in the House. And now talking bipartisanly with the Senate, there's opportunity. Biden obviously puts him in a sticky wicket. Does he veto it or not? So, you know, over the next month, this one actually has legs and could get through the Senate.
If it gets through the Senate, all he has to do is not sign it. He doesn't even have, I'm talking about President Biden. He doesn't, he can just not sign it and let it go away or veto it. That'll be interesting.
And we have the power. I mean, if you look at the votes, we have the power to override his veto in the House. So, I mean, based on the last vote.
It
would be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yes, it would be.
You know, it would be shameful if he wouldn't sign it. But, I mean, again, when you're giving our petroleum to China, that's egregious.
Yep. Okay, so we're sending oil to China. The Farm Act, that – there's got to be a little focus on China on the farm with the Farm Act too, isn't there?
Yeah, this is my biggest push right now. I mean, the Farm Act is understanding that we're having all this land being bought by China and other countries, and we believe that American farmland belongs to the American farmer. I mean, flat out, that's where it should. And what this simply does is that it requires that any land being purchased, that it has to go through oversight. It's got to go through a committee to say, all right, why are they buying it? Is it a security situation? Should this be a purchase done by a foreign adversary? And, you know, this is, a big deal. I mean, if you look at the state of Iowa, there's more land outside the size of the state of Iowa. There's more land that's owned by foreign investors. So 36.5 million acres are owned by foreign investors. So I just think that, you know what, the farm producers have to pass their land on to the next generation, and we got to promote that instead of having our adversaries buying our land.
Okay. Yeah, you're hitting a nail right squarely on the head with many of the farmers that I've talked with this winter, Congressman, because it's not only the amount of farmland that they own, it's the location that they own it. And it looks to be that there was some very strategic intentions in mind when they purchased some of this land.
Yeah. Well, they bought land in Grand Forks, North Dakota, by the Fufeng Group, Chinese-based manufacturer, close ties with the China communist country, that was just adjacent to a military installation. So that's a real concern. But for the farming community, here's my great fear, is that when you start having land being purchased, you know, we have a lot of technology or seeds or and everything that we're doing. And obviously China wants to know about that too. So it's not only the military, but it's also all the technology and what we're doing for our farmers for production and value added and things like that. But you know what? We got to protect it.
Okay. All right. Let's jump over to EPA and the Waters of the U.S. final rule. Why didn't they wait for the Supreme Court decision on this summer?
You want to get me fired up today, don't you? This is what fires me up. You're exactly right. You know, we have a court case at the Supreme Court. The bottom line is we need to wait before we do anything with WOTUS. But the EPA doubled down by expanding the significant nexus test which again comes down to subjective determination that the federal government can regulate whether it's a mud puddle or a little creek on navigable waters. And you know, you think about what this does to our local farms is that any activity moving dirt, plowing, building a fence, that would require a federal permit.
Yeah.
And this is, again, egregious, and I'm so frustrated with the EPA. I get it. It's a ping pong ball where the Trump administration, you know, first of all, Obama went strict, and then Biden let it loose, and now we're back to even worse than under Obama. So I'm just frustrated, and I'm hoping that the Supreme Court comes down with their decision here shortly.
Okay. I've only got about 20 seconds left here. Year-round availability nationwide for E15, what's the odds?
Yeah, the bottom line, this is a big odds, right? Because both Democrats and Republicans support this. All the ethanol plants, see, this is the number one issue that we can have consistency and make sure that it's year-round. It's got to happen, and I think it will.
That's outstanding. Representative Randy Feenstra, 4th District of Iowa, thank you so much, sir. What a great conversation. Well done.
Hey, it's always great to be on. Thank you for having me on AgriTalk.
You bet. All right. Hey, we're going to be right back. We're going to keep the conversation going on several of these topics. We've got Tim from Iowa, Bob from Missouri, next on the Farmer Forum.